What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. This is Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is the daily CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I am not in Arizona. Some people are. John Breach tricked me into believing he was in Arizona. He's not. He's in Nashville. I know that because I see him holding his tiny little microphone in his tiny little ant house with his tiny little hairdo. And Ryan Wilson, also not in Arizona, because you have been doing HQ hits talking about Rob Gronkowski retiring, which is the big news of the day. We'll get to that. We'll preview the owners meeting, some crazy stuff coming up in the next couple of days. We could see some rules changes and whatnot. But first of all, what's up, guys?
Yellow. We're just coming to this podcast moments after Duke cheated their way to beating UCF as a UNC homer. I'm not happy about that, but at least Carolina won their game handily, and that's all I will say about college basketball.
And I'm only showing up for 10 minutes before I hit the club to celebrate Gronk's retirement, and then I'm going to get thrown out of the club in pure Gronk fashion. That's my plan tonight, guys.
I respect that, John. I respect that your willingness to aggressively attack in pure Gronk fashion. That's good. Good on you. Good on you. What do we think? Rob Gronkowski retired. It's kind of a shocking move on like a 6 o'clock. We were about to do this podcast and we're going to fire it up at 6 o'clock. And like, I swear at 5:45, multiple people spotted Gronk's Instagram post in which he said he was retiring and walking away. I'm sure you have that Instagram post memorized, so you can read it for us if you want, John, or if not, you can just tell us about your immediate reaction to finding out that Rob Gronkowski, who wrote, it all started 20 years old on stage at the NFL draft when my dream came true. Now here I am about to turn 30 in a few months with a decision I feel is the biggest of my life so far. I'll be retiring from the game of football today. I'm so grateful for the opportunity that Mr. Kraft and Coach Belichick gave to me when drafting my silliness in 2010. My life experience over the last 9 years have been amazing. Both on and off the field, people I've met, the relationships I've built, the championships I've been a part of. I just want to thank the whole New England Patriots organization for every opportunity I've been given. Blah, blah, blah. He continues on for like 7,000 words, and he's gone. Gronk, off into the wind. Breach, what do you think?
Well, I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head by saying you were surprised. Look, I wrote in January that I thought he was going to retire, but even though I kind of thought it, I was still totally shocked, caught off guard by this, didn't see it coming. It was just, you know, you hear about the Friday news dump where things just trickle out. And the last thing I expected was to be sitting at home watching the NCAA tournament on a Sunday evening, a pleasant Sunday evening, mind you. And then, boom, Gronk drops a retirement bomb on Instagram of all places. So, I mean, I was just totally shocked, maybe flabbergasted. Is that a word that people use still? I was just completely surprised. What were your first thoughts, Wilson?
I knew he was going to retire. I was actually not shocked at all. The timing was weird. We talked about it. I don't know why people are like, oh, I can't believe this happened. The timing is admittedly odd. But after the Super Bowl, he had a couple good catches, but for most of the game, he didn't look great. He wasn't necessarily dominant during the season. We said that a lot. And we were talking about him coming back as a $10 million glorified right tackle. So, yeah, I get why he retired, and I would have been surprised if he came back at $10 million a year if the Patriots wanted to pay him that. Maybe the only reason he would have done it is for Tom Brady, because I think reportedly Tom Brady last year wanted Gronk to come back when there were the trade conversations and all that. But, I mean, I've been doing mock drafts since September, and every other mock draft, a couple times a month, it would be the Patriots taking a tight end at 32 or whenever they drafted, because they're going to have to replace him. Even after we thought, you know, there's a slight chance Gronk will return in 2019. You still need a tight end because he's better than Jason Witten, but I don't think at this point in his career, given the string of injuries he's had every year and a lot of them serious injuries, he was going to be anything close to what we saw when he was in his prime. So, yeah, I mean, it's surprising that it came out at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. during the middle of March Madness, but otherwise, eh.
Eh? Your reaction is eh?
In terms of being surprised, it's a huge loss for. Especially
so what did you physically do when you found out that Gronk was retiring? Were you like, oh, or were you like, eh?
I found out when you texted me because I was, I think I was playing basketball outside with my son, dominating him like I was Duke and he was UCF. And
more
I saw
like
the text.
You were Duke and
for he, most of the game.
He
yeah,
was
no,
Duke.
I was Duke at
he
the
was
end.
Duke
yeah.
and you were UCF. Oh yeah, Duke. Yeah, Duke cheated. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's how I play basketball. So it tracks. But so I saw your text and I was like, oh boy. So I checked Twitter and of course he retired. So I didn't know whether he had, you know, jumped off a bridge, with one of those squirrel suits and it didn't open, something crazy like that Gronk would do, or if he in fact had retired. So that's actually how I found out. So I was like, okay. And it just pushed the podcast back because Breach had to write the story. And then I did HQ. So pushed it back a little further. And then we had to watch the end of the Duke game. So here we are now at 7:53 Eastern Standard Time.
Well, that way to run that into a complaint about the podcast time is you chug your Yingling. Ryan's drinking Yingling.
Gronk in true Gronk fashion.
Here's the truth is that we just lost 60% of our content for the 2019 season. I mean, Gronk petting a cat. I don't know if you guys remember that. Gronk dancing shirtless in Las Vegas. That was basically an annual headline that you could count on every single summer.
Don't forget about the time I saw Gronk tip a kid selling lemonade $100 at the Super Bowl.
Gronk showing up at random bachelor parties.
Oh, Gronk came to your bachelor party? Yeah. We got some great memories with Gronk. Let me ask you this, Breach. Is Rob Gronkowski the greatest tight end in NFL history?
To that, I would say yes. And I know there are a couple arguments. I think Tony Gonzalez would probably be the guy who has the strongest argument. Obviously, Travis Kelce's still playing. He's got a few years, even though he's the same age as Gronk, which is crazy. But the reason I go with Gronk is because the dude was basically a once-in-a-generation tight end. Not only was he one of the best receiving tight ends, but he's also one of the best blocking tight ends. And you look at – if you break Tom Brady's career into two halves, and the second half is after that ACL, I mean, Gronk – was a big part why they won 3 Super Bowls and went to 5 Super Bowls. So you take Gronk off that team, they're not winning. They're not going to 5 Super Bowls in that span. Maybe 2, maybe 3 because Belichick. But Gronk really was a huge part of that offense. And, I do absolutely think he is the best tight end in NFL history.
What about you, Ryan? Agree or disagree?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, he played 9 seasons, came in 2010, and he was dominant. I mean, you couldn't stop him. There were no answers for him. And Steelers fans are quite aware of how that played out every time they faced almost every time they faced the Patriots. And Gronk was a big part of that. So, yeah, I know Tony Gonzalez, like Breach mentioned, Kellen Winslow back in the day, the original KW was amazing, but that was a different game. Jason Witten is a Hall of Famer, but I think you take Gronk over Jason Witten.
Yes,
I would take Gronk
yes.
in the broadcast. Yeah. I have no idea what Gronk sounds like other than the little snippets. You know what's funny? This is how quickly things have changed since Gronk came into the league in 2010. I think in 2011, when I first started at CBS, I wrote a story about how people were concerned that Gronk was seen with a porn star and had his picture taken with her. It was the offseason, and he was, I think, back in Arizona or on the West Coast somewhere. I mean, now, who cares? At the time, no one really cared either, but some people had their, you know, grabbing their pearls and saying things like I never, and at the end of the day that had nothing. I mean, that paled in comparison to the. In fact, CBS Sports, I think the Instagram, maybe even the Twitter, tweeted out some of Gronk's best moments. He was doing an interview with I can't remember the ESPN reporter who's Spanish speaking primarily. He works for ESPN Deportes, but Gronk answered all his questions in Spanish. Gronk doesn't speak Spanish. That was funny. Breach mentioned the dancing. He had the Gronk cruise. Don't forget about that. I mean, it was literally one thing after another. And I'll mention this quickly because I saw Breach tweet this, and I thought Breach was trying to be funny. And I didn't find it. I thought it was like, this is sort of weird. But here's what Breach tweeted an hour ago. Gronk's final postgame conversation with Bill Belichick was him planning to party with Belichick. And Breach goes to make up quotes, or what I thought he's making up quotes. Rob, I haven't stepped out in like 8 months. I got to step out tonight, which just sounds like something your great grandfather would say before he's going to cheat on his wife or something. And then Bill Belichick says, I'm with you, man. I'm even going to step out tonight. That's actually what the conversation they had on the field at the Super Bowl before going to party.
He said that after this Super Bowl? That's incredible. All right. Here's the CBS Instagram. Let's see if I can get this, timed up right. I'll probably screw it up though. Don't worry.
Report to work.
Copy that.
That's Gronk dancing on a motorcycle.
Con el ala cerrada de los Patriotas, lo que significa que hoy la defensa fue la que sacó el partido. What does it mean today that the defense really got the W, la victoria?
Hola, me llamo Roberto. Sí,
Yo soy fiesta.
That's the greatest one of all time, I think, the yo soy fiesta move.
I am a party.
Yeah. See, yo soy fiesta.
And also, I'm half Mexican. He speaks better Spanish than I do, so I'm a little hurt now.
It's a little concerning that you don't speak any Spanish, Breach.
No, I said he speaks better than I do. Doesn't mean I don't speak any.
I mean, like,
maybe Gronk could be your Spanish tutor. I would pay to see that.
Like, you should definitely speak more Spanish than you do, John, since you're part Mexican. Because yo habla español un poco. What do you think about that? Yo soy fiesta. I think that Gronk is, in fact, the greatest tight end of all time. And it's going to be it'll be interesting to see how his Hall of Fame case works. I know there's a debate around the Super Bowl.
First ballot. No question.
I think he's a first ballot shoe-in Hall of Famer. But weren't there some discussion about whether or not he's actually a Hall of Famer around the Super Bowl time?
No.
I think that was Julian Edelman.
No, I swear. Wasn't it?
We were all debating the whole thing because Edelman had such big postseason performances. And everybody's like, put Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame, even though his stats were comparable to, like, Jeremy Maclin, who, by the way, also retired today.
Check this out. This is from the Boston Herald. This is in mid-February. I found this stunning. Is he a slam dunk first ballot? Will he go in on the first try like tight end Tony Gonzalez just did with the class of 2019? That's where it gets a little dicey. Having consulted 5 members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame selection committee, there's 48 on the panel, none of them would firmly commit to the notion. He'll get in. There's not much doubt about that. It's just that no one is quite sure when. He might get passed over a few times, just like Ty Law. Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, who presented Gonzalez, said his stats aren't as high as some of the other guys who were in, but there's no doubt he's the most complete tight end of his era. But with his stats, there might be some discussion on whether he's a first ballot guy or not. Interesting.
Who would he be going up against? You know, you look at anybody that could retire in the past couple years or anybody who has retired in the past couple years, anybody who could retire just this year, because there's not going to be a long list of guys. You know, Peyton Manning's going to be inducted soon. All these huge names. I can't think of a huge name that will be on the ballot in 5 years that could possibly keep Rob Gronkowski out.
I agree. That's a good point. And I think that, to me, he's the greatest tight end of all time. When you think about, you know, the ability to block, led the league in touchdowns one time, 17 in 2011, really his breakout season, but he had 10 touchdowns as a rookie playing when he played 16 games, he just started 11. 5 times he had double-digit touchdowns. Only had more than 1,000 receiving yards 4 times, but you know that plays in part. Gronk always seemed to have a huge season and then sort of deal with an injury and then have another huge season after that and bounce back.
A lot of serious injuries.
Yeah, I mean that's why I get. I mean, like, I understand why he's retiring. He does get to walk out on top. You know, played 13 games. This year. Won the Super Bowl, so for him, I think that that's kind of cool to waltz away after that. And you do have to wonder if he was really that into the idea of spending another year and, you know, not dealing with Belichick stuff, but, you know, being a professional football player at the age of 30. He had a contract that they were going to pay him probably, they might want to try and renegotiate. I'm sure that probably factored into it a little bit. The only guy that I think you could possibly put above him is Tony Gonzalez. If you were picking the greatest tight ends ever, I would personally take Gronk just because I think if you had one game and, you know, like, you know, season on the line, like if you were picking a tight end for your Super Bowl team, you would go with Gronk over Gonzalez.
Yeah. And there's not really any, I mean, somebody could say Antonio Gates or Shannon Sharp, but the list of greatest tight ends ever, there's not a lot of guys you can put up on that Mount Rushmore, if you will, and Gronk would absolutely be the pick. And if Gonzalez was the first ballot Hall of Famer, I think that means Gronk has to be too.
Well, you would think so, John, but that doesn't mean it's a guarantee by any stretch of the imagination. All right, what do the Patriots do in the draft, Ryan, or free agency? What's the play here now? Is there?
Well, here's the thing, and you actually retweeted this from Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport. Jared Cook, they made a push for Jared Cook, is what he said, but he's probably most likely going to sign with the Saints. So Jared Cook would make some sense. He's 32, had 68 receptions last year for the Raiders, was tied for the lead among all Raiders pass catchers. So he can clearly, you know, he can still do it even though he's 33 years old. But here's the current – let me ask you this. I'll ask you first, you and John both. There are 1, 2, 3, 4 tight ends currently on the Patriots roster, not named Rob Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. How many can you name?
Dwayne Allen?
No, he's now with the
– He's with the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
I know that because I think I wrote that.
Wait a second. It's John's turn now. John, do you have any?
I think they have a guy named Steven, but I can't remember his last name.
Steven yes. Anderson. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Hudawamani.
Yeah, he retired 5 years ago. any other? You got any other names? They signed a kid named Matt Lacoste who played for the Giants and Broncos the last few years. I think he has combined 27 receptions. I have to look at.
And he was only signed because his last name sounds like lacrosse.
Right,
like,
exactly.
That's the only reason Bill Belichick signed him. Is Jacob Hollister still on that roster?
You just look. And Ryan Izzo. You're terrible. Come on, dude. So, yeah, Ryan Izzo's the other one. I think Ryan Izzo's primarily a special teamer.
That's
so,
Tom Izzo's third cousin removed on his mother's side.
Do you think Tom yells at him like he yells at that poor freshman?
That is the biggest garbage storyline of all time.
I thought Scott Van Pelt's response was perfect.
It really
Ryan, was.
Was
your point of this exercise that the Patriots don't have any tight ends?
They have no tight ends to speak of. And I was going to follow it up by saying they re-signed Philip Dorsett. Chris Hogan's still out there. They could re-sign him. They signed some guy named Maurice Harris to play wide receiver. Julian Edelman's there. They signed Bruce Ellington. And Matthew Slater is a special teams guy. So we don't know what's going to happen with Josh Gordon in terms of when he's coming back and all that. So they don't have any real receivers to speak of at all. All that said, they have three picks in the first two rounds. They have the end of the first round, end of the second round, and then they have like the 52nd pick, I believe. I have to double check. So I had finished my mock draft, my two-round mock draft that comes out on Monday before the Gronk news, and I'm actually not going to change it, but I'll give you a little preview. They have them taking defensive tackle at the end of the first round because Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson already went earlier in the first round. And then at 50, let's see what it is. It is 50. Come on. Oh, come on. There it is. 56. There we go. So at 56, I haven't taken a wide receiver because they need a wide receiver help. Emmanuel Hall out of Missouri. That's a little sneak peek there. He was Drew Lock's favorite guy. He's like 6'2". He ran a great time at the combine, and he can be a big play guy. And then finally at 64, I have him taking a tight end, Jay Sternberger, who is the fourth best tight end in this class, at least I think he is. And he's not a blocker, but he is a middle-of-the-field playmaker. And so they got to figure out the blocking situation. We'll see how that works. But let me ask, John, either you or Brinson can answer this question. They had the first-rounder and 2 second-rounders. Would you trade up? And it might take both second-rounders to trade up, some combination of all three picks, to 12th, which would put you where the Packers are now, in order to have the best chance of getting T.J. Hockenson, who has drawn comparisons to Rob Gronkowski. I think he's more like Travis Kelce. But would you do that to move up to get the best tight end in this class, one of the best players in this class?
I would absolutely think about it. Because you look at the Patriots offense, it is literally designed around having a good tight end. That's how it functions best, is when there's a good tight end. I mean, we saw Gronk and Aaron Hernandez dominate for like 2 years together. And then obviously only one of them after that going forward. But that offense works best when there's a tight end. And I don't think that Jared Cook can be ruled out just yet because I can't even remember where I read it, but it was that Cook passed on the Patriots because he wanted to be the top tight end without any competition. And so since the Gronk thing was unsettled, he said, I don't want to deal with that because the Patriots apparently told him they didn't know what Gronk was going to do. And so now you're Jared Cook. You haven't signed your contract with the Saints. You know Gronk's out for a fact. So, I mean, are you taking the Patriots' phone calls?
Yeah.
Is that better, though, than catching passes from Drew Brees?
I'm taking the phone calls and getting a better deal from the Saints. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, that I think that makes sense. Because you're going to catch more passes. You don't have to play in cold weather. Better chance of Super Bowl in New England, though.
Yeah. By the way, the Patriots have released statements. That tells you how good Gronk is. Because the Patriots don't release statements on many people. And it is interesting. They came out 5-6 minutes ago, a statement from Bob Kraft and a statement from Bill Belichick were both released by the Patriots. And it is interesting that it took 2 hours for them to get statements from those guys down on paper. That leads me to believe that Gronk really did, like, they didn't know until Gronk apparently called Bob
Belichick
Kraft.
Belichick was in Barbados with his top off sunbathing on the
party
bar.
Getting harassed by TMZ outside of restaurants. That was incredible.
I saw John wrote that, but I didn't click on it. How bad was it, John?
for TMZ or for Belichick?
What happened? Yeah, I didn't see any of it.
TMZ went full TMZ on Belichick, and he just blew up. He went full Belichick where he didn't answer a single question, except someone kind of said he looked handsome. He looked over and smiled at him. But other than that,
but then they asked him, somebody asked him a question about, Robert Kraft. And it was like, he was sort of smiling. They're like, Bill, you look great. Go Pats, go. He's smiling. Then they asked a question. He goes, and you could like see, it was like his whole body. You could see his body just stop. Yeah. Here's a statement from Kraft on Rob Gronkowski. In the 9 years I've known Rob Gronkowski, I've never known him to have a bad day. He always has a youthful exuberance about him. It's a joy to be around as a player. He earned the respect of his coaches and teammates for his hard work, preparation, selfless attitude, and sheer dominance of his game. Gronk quickly became a fan favorite, the most dominant player in his position for nearly a decade. I look forward to honoring him in the near future as both a Patriots and Pro Football Hall of Famer. He goes on for a little bit, and here's Bill Belichick. It was a pleasure and privilege to coach Rob Gronkowski the past 9 years, from his rookie year until his final season and through countless times in between. Rob was a major reason why we won games and championships. His elite combination of size, skill, intelligence, toughness, and ability to perform in pressure situations set him apart. Rob's impact on our team and organization was felt in many ways. In the ultimate team sport, Rob was a great, great teammate. His production spoke for itself, but his daily attitude, unmistakably positive energy wherever he went and toward whoever he touched will never be forgotten. Rob will leave an indelible mark on the Patriots organization and the game as among the best, most complete players at his position to ever play. Man, when Bill Belichick says that stuff about you, how does that, I mean, that makes you feel good, right? I mean, like
So would you trade up for
Yes.
Parkinson?
Yeah, I would. I don't think he's going to be there at 12.
So you're willing to give up 2 second-round picks, a first and second, some combination, maybe all three, to get into the top 10?
A first and 2 seconds to go get 12 and get T.J. Hockenson? I would consider it, but Belichick won't do it.
Here's my response to people that are eager to do that. Rob Gronkowski went in the second round.
Yeah, Gronk fell because he had back injuries coming out of Arizona. I mean, like, there was a people were concerned that he wouldn't be able to play for a long time. And it's, you know, again, injuries were always an issue with him. So it's not like that's completely untrue.
Well, then my reaction to anyone who wants to take a quarterback in the first round is Tom Brady went in the sixth round. I mean, you could do that with any position.
Suck it, Wilson. In your
Can't
face.
Can't do kickers.
That is fair.
You can do it with punters. Michael Dixon was taken early.
So was Brian Anger. He was taken before Russell Wilson.
I know. I was.
Pete Prisco was not happy about that.
I was sitting there with Pete when it happened, and Pete was. I told Pete that Russell would be better than Osweiler, and he didn't believe me because he's an ASU.
And yeah, you
homer.
Can say it with any position, but you can't say it with any position as it relates to Bill Belichick putting together a roster.
I do think like a player like Hockenson would be one of those times where he would consider trading up because you do need to fill it. But at the same time, I mean, this is a team that knows. I mean, like, I don't even know that they're that worried about replacing Gronk's catching, like, receptions production. I think they're more worried about replacing his run blocking production. Because
you would think they would have kept Dwayne Allen around, who is a run blocking tight end, if they had known before 2 hours ago that Gronk was leaving.
Well, that's the thing with Jared Cook. Like, Jared Cook is not exactly a great blocker. I mean, this is a guy who's gonna, he's gonna come out and catch a bunch of passes, but he's not gonna be a dominant run game guy.
With Gronk retiring, how many second round picks do you think are left from the 2010 NFL draft? Over or under 10?
Under.
There's 32 picks.
Way under.
I'll say zero.
Wilson is right. Brinson is kind of right because it's under, but not zero. It is 7.
Who are the remaining ones?
Roger Saffold, Zane Beatles. Oh, you guys want to guess? Sorry, Wilson. Yeah. Guess the other five.
You want to guess?
Steelers, Marquise Pouncey's still playing.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Of course, let's see who else. Linville Joseph. Jimmy Clausen still playing.
Oh, second round picks. I said
second round picks. Yeah, Wilson Pouncey's first.
Oh, yeah. James Worlds has actually retired. He retired 4 years ago.
Sean Lee.
Golden Tate.
He's sort of playing Sean Lee.
Who else? Yeah. Is that it?
That's actually a lot. 7, I feel like.
Yeah, for second round. That was a really good draft, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a very good draft. That was the Bradford draft. Yeah, Ndamukong Suh, Gerald McCoy, Trent Williams, Eric Berry, Russell Okung, Joe Haden. A lot of those dudes are still playing. That's pretty incredible. Okay, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about some owners meeting stuff and get ready for the continuing 2019 NFL offseason.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All right. Man, I'm glad. I mean, I'm sad that Gronk retired and left football, but I'm kind of glad because we might have, we would have had more, more stuff to fill, void to fill, if you know what I'm saying, Ryan.
NC State is losing to Harvard and NIT, John. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think we would have filled that void by talking about Jeremy Maclin retiring at his wife's baby shower.
So John has no response to Harvard beating NC State is what I'm hearing.
I had to figure out, I was like, what sport is that? And it is women's college basketball.
No, men's. It's the NIT.
It's worse.
Oh, it's the NIT. Yeah. So there we go. Oh, I didn't even know. See?
Triple slap in my face.
NCAA tournament at all.
You know, my problem is that I forgot to fill out my women's NIT bracket. I do that every year.
It's the men's NIT.
Oh, it's men's?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I forgot to fill out my men's NIT bracket. I forgot to fill out all my NIT brackets this year.
Human. Harvard up 36-33 on Harvard of the South right now. So,
Lord.
Jeremy Maclin retired.
Were you surprised?
Well, no, I just wondered, like, you're like, wow, that's kind of annoying that I'm working on a Sunday. Or were you kind of like, all right, that's cool. I can write up that story. NFL player retires. And then all of a sudden you got the Gronk bomb dropped on you.
That's exactly. I actually literally put the final period in the Maclin story when I saw Gronk's Instagram. And I was just like, oh my God. First of all, I felt horrible for Maclin because no one is ever going to remember he retired. Everybody's going to be like, what happened to Jeremy Maclin? They're going to Google it and be like, oh, he retired the same day Gronk did, the same day Duke almost lost but they won by cheating. So Maclin is like the 12th most important thing that happened today. And even, you know, he did it at his wife's baby shower. So that poor baby is not going to be able to Google his dad and find out when he retired. So it is just, sorry, Jeremy Maclin, that happened.
You have to name the baby Gronk Maclin. Problem solved. By the way, we didn't talk about this, John, your dereliction of duty and the things you wrote on Sunday. Cliff Kingsbury saying that everything's on the table with the first overall pick.
I mean, what is there? He's just Smokescreen Kingsbury. That should be his nickname. The guy
Smokescreen Kingsbury.
It's his first year in the NFL, and he sounds like a 12-year – sounds like Belichick here. He's just – talking a lot without actually saying anything.
So what are they saying to Josh Rosen at this point? When you hear things like everything's on the table and you're Josh Rosen, isn't your agent saying, all right, what the hell's going on? We need some clarification. It's almost April. What's going to happen?
Well, I don't think you can't trade Rosen until the draft, because if you do it before then, everybody knows you're taking Kyler Murray. But if you do it on draft day, then people are calling you making bigger and better offers. So like, I feel like you're killing his value by trading him way before the draft. But then the flip side of that is, you know, Kingsbury has to talk Steve Keim into saying, hey, man, you know that first round pick you made last year? It sucked, and I want Kyler Murray. You know, because Steve Keim, still the general manager, still in charge, and he's the one who traded up to get Rosen last year. So there's a lot of nuance here that just makes this a fascinating situation.
I don't see the nuance. I see it's a, sort of like a hammer banging on a window, and it's only a matter of time before it breaks. I don't know what they're doing.
By the way, Kingsbury also said, yeah, I've talked to Josh, and he understands it's a business and what goes all, what all goes with the first pick and what's going on. That's,
that means he's gone.
I think I, it's not a good sign. When you say,
no, you're not having that kind of, who had the first pick last year? No one knows.
The Browns?
Who was
the Browns, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Oh, so there's no quarterback there. When's the last time they had the first round pick and a quarterback wasn't taken? My point is that the quarterback that was the quarterback on
Miles
the team prior
Garrett
to the draft.
The year before.
What's that?
When they took Miles Garrett over Carson Wentz? No, that was the wrong year. Is that the right year? No, because Jared Goff, Carson Wentz.
Jared Goff first.
But Miles Garrett was 2 years ago.
And who was the quarterback? God, I don't remember who the Browns quarterback that had so many quarterbacks. I think he took DeShone Kizer in that draft too.
Yes.
Right? That's my true. Point is that rarely when the incumbent quarterback team has a first overall pick, has a coach call them and said, listen, we're taking a defensive end. Your status is up in the air because we have the first overall pick. Surely you understand how that works. If you like your franchise quarterback, you build around him. You don't take another quarterback 11 and a half months later.
No, I mean, I think it's 100%. You don't say Josh knows it's a business and then start talking about the fact that everything is on the table. Now, I still do think that maybe they're just trying to push this as hard as they can because it's good for business and the trade market, and it helps, you know, the NFL likes it and people talk about the Cardinals.
And maybe they are, because Josh Rosen hasn't said anything, because he's been known to speak his mind and not take slights well or suffer fools well or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And I haven't heard anything from him, so maybe he's, you know, maybe he's cool with it.
I don't know. Breach, what do you think they're going to do with the first pick?
I'm 50-50. I mean, everybody seems sold that it's going to be Kyler Murray, but just the more Cliff Kingsbury talks, the more I think that they could keep Josh Rosen, because if you trade Josh Rosen, you don't get good value, then you wasted your 2018 first round pick. You're not going to get a defensive player or a player that improves your team this year because you're going to take Kyler Murray. So I just think there's a lot of question marks if you take Murray, but if you keep Rosen, who could be better than Murray or equal to, if he's equal to, then, you know, you would keep Rosen because you also get to keep the first pick in the draft. I mean, unless you think Kyler Murray is at least five times better than Josh Rosen, I just don't see how you get rid of Josh Rosen.
So here's the thing. Steve Keim's getting fired this year if the Cardinals suck. So if you're Steve Keim, what do you do? What is your best chance to win? Josh Rosen, build around him, or Kyler Murray, throw him out there and keep your fingers crossed in hopes that he gets Baker Mayfield up?
Choice A.
What do you do, Brinson?
I would keep Rosen. I would keep Rosen, and I would build around him. And if you take a step forward, even if you go win seven games next year, I don't think you're getting fired. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think
100% you're not getting fired. That's right, because you're improved on your three-win season when you guys – I don't know who's in charge of hiring Steve Wilks. That's something that you want to erase off your resume. But that last season was a disaster in every fashion. And I think Rosen makes a ton of sense. I think you get Bosa or trade down or whatever. You could trade down if someone wants to get Kyler Murray, and I'm sure there'll be people that want to get him. And you get Garrett Bradbury at 15 or something. You can get Dexter Lawrence with the top of the second round if you want. You can get an edge rusher with one of those other picks you get from trading down. I mean, there's so many things you can do that are better than just getting Kyler Murray and still having the same doo-doo team you had last year.
Wait, so are we saying that if we were the Cardinals' brain trust, we would all stick with Rosen?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah. I keep getting the spidey sense. My spidey sense is going off that they are going to stick with Rosen, and that they ultimately would not prefer to have him, but I just think that they look at it as an opportunity to win this year without having to give up a ton of value, because I think that they can be better than people think.
Cliff Kingsbury is not taking that job unless he is convinced the owners that he likes Josh Rosen. Isn't that a possibility?
I think so, because they didn't know that Kyler Murray wasn't in any discussion for the first overall pick up until Cliff Kingsbury's comments from October, when he said that he would have taken Kyler Murray first overall, resurfaced and became like a talking point. Like, until that, there's no discussion about about the Cardinals taking Kyler Murray one overall. And look, if you add Nick Bosa to Terrell Suggs, Chandler Jones, or maybe even add Quinnen Williams and throw him in the middle if they really like him, you throw that's a pretty good defensive line. You got some
Josh Rosen plus Quinnen Williams is better than Kyler Murray.
Yeah, and again, 100%, like, 100%. If you go into your interview, if Kingsbury had gone into his interview with Steve Keim and said, I hate Josh Rosen, I don't want him on the team, he's not getting the job because Keim traded up to get him last year. So, right, like, right. He definitely had to say, I can make it work with this guy. And if Keim heard that, why would he even contemplate getting Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick?
I've actually talked myself into them not taking Kyler Murray.
Well, right. I mean, like, you don't put all this stuff in motion unless you think that Josh Rosen could be the guy. Now, having said that, if they're convinced that Kyler Murray is going to be awesome, then you take Kyler Murray. We sat down with Pete Prisco at the Super Bowl and talked to him for a while. You know, he busted out his little film thing and was showed all these throws. I mean, I think you do at least have to be worried that Kyler Murray might not step in and be just incredibly dominant off the bat, right?
Well, here's the thing. I was talking to Scott last week. They have four guys that are going to get drafted. Cody Ford's their right tackle. He's going to be a first-round pick in all likelihood. Defenses rush three against Kyler Murray all the time.
Yep.
He's not going to have that situation in Arizona where that offensive line sucks. They couldn't figure out how to use David Johnson. I'm sure Cliff Kingsbury will figure that out. Larry Fitzgerald is their go-to receiver at this point. I mean, there are so many things that Kyler Murray being out there ain't going to fix. By the way, I asked this Scott this question. I said, so other than being 5'10", what would you say is the biggest issue that you have with Kyler Murray? What do you think he said?
His accuracy.
He said, not much.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, guys love him. And
Is this a scout for a team that could be potentially picking in the top half of the draft?
I can tell you that.
You can give us a range. You can say like an NFC scout or something.
He's an NFL scout.
Oh, come on. You got to learn how to – if you're going to be dropping, I talk to a scout, you got to be able to like sprinkle in like a little vagueness about it. Like a scout –
I'll tell you off air who okay. I was talking to. I'm going to tell him. Look, man, come on.
Well, I'm asking because I'm curious if he – All right, is it a scout with a team that could be looking for a quarterback? Because it could be anybody.
You just asked me that 10 minutes ago, 10 seconds ago. No, I'm not telling you. It's an NFL scout.
Well, that's 32 guys. You got to narrow it down to like 10.
Yeah, he was at the combine. I'll give you that. Does that narrow it down?
And no, that's not helpful at all.
But he covers
Bill Smith with the Raiders.
Yeah. It's Real Brinson. I told you that guy. Yeah. He's. Oh my god. Beat that out. He's awesome. Yeah, make sure you mark that down. But anyway, the point is, I think you guys have convinced me that unless you're part of – because, I mean, do you think that Kingsbury and Keim are looking at all these mock drafts, and I'm as guilty as anyone, going, oh, my God, yes, they keep putting Kyler Murray number one. Teams are reading these mock drafts. That seems to be the buzz. John Gruden or whomever wants to trade up to get Kyler Murray are now going to be even more inclined to do so, and this is all part of their big ruse. Because I'll be honest, like you look at Steve Keim, he doesn't strike me as someone who's going to be – you know, Kaiser Sose and up. But we said the same thing about Antonio Brown, who is the OG Kaiser Sose. So maybe he knows more than
I think Keim's smart enough to know how to manipulate the media. And look, I mean, look, he didn't start all this drama. Like,
They didn't answer the questions.
Yeah, that's true. He didn't. Yeah, I mean, he's smart. He's leaving it open. And I think they really are at least considering it. Like, it's not off the table, but I just don't know. The problem is if you trade Josh Rosen to like the Patriots for a second round pick and everybody praises the Patriots and then you draft Kyler Murray and he's not that good and the second round pick isn't that great, you're getting fired. Like you're getting fired. And if Bidwell, Michael Bidwell, the team president and the owner, if he loves Josh Rosen, there's a decent chance that you just can't trade Josh Rosen. Like, he's not going to sign off on it. And I think that's an ownership level, situation that you gotta get signed off on.
And here's another thing. If they do take Kyler Murray, you guys know when the last time a team drafted a quarterback in the first round 2 years in a row?
No, but the Panthers did it in 2010 and 2011 with their first overall pick.
The Cowboys did it with the supplemental draft picks. They took
Troy Aikman and
Matt or Walsh. Walsh. What's Walsh?
Steve
Walsh.
Steve Walsh, yeah. That's right.
Who do you have, John?
Who did the Panthers take?
Jimmy Clausen in the second round and then Cam Newton first overall.
Cam, no sex Newton.
Last time to do it in the first round both years was the Baltimore Colts, 1982 and 1983. So we're talking.
Was that when they drafted Elway and they had to trade him?
Yeah, that's 83 is when they did. Elway was the second quarterback, though. He wasn't even the first one. That's the even crazier part. So the door was open for it to happen again in 84.
Who was the first one?
It, Yeah, who's
that? Art Schleser.
Oh, yeah.
Gambling. Just... got basically fizzled out of the NFL after like 2 years, I think.
By the way, you guys just glossed over the Cam No Sex Newton joke.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Cam Newton, we can just go straight to that. What's why didn't Cam have any sex? I don't get it.
I think John's our sex correspondent. Did you write that story, John?
I did not.
Wow.
Even though I do generally try to write all the sex stories on the website, I didn't grab this one.
He was trying. Nice. He was trying to remain focused. Is that was his? I didn't read all the details. But
is
I
he just
no
quitting
sex,
sex for a month? And he think, like, what'd you do? Get married? Am I right?
Why? Yeah. Why is he quitting it now though? What's going on in April that he needs to quit having?
Lent, maybe. I don't know. Some people just go celibate for a while.
How much sex was he having that he needed to quit having sex?
I mean, he has a kid. He's having some.
That's one. Having a kid doesn't. That's a single instance.
Do you think it'll make it better?
Do you think that rich people, like rich athletes, have more sex with a small kid around than like a normal person?
I don't know what you're asking.
Because like most people who have small kids aren't. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know what the second.
We are now turning into the Pick Six Pod After Dark.
Yeah.
I know. Turn on the sexy music, Brunson.
I think we're talking about no sex.
Do you think Tom Brady has ever gone celibate for a month?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
With his kale smoothies and the pliability stuff, absolutely.
Okay, follow-up question. Do you think Gronk has ever gone celibate for a month?
No chance.
That dude, he went through puberty at age 5, and there's no way it's happened since.
No, yeah. Looking back.
I don't know. I don't get it. Cam, I mean, good for Cam. I mean, I think anything, a month off of anything is a good idea. Like doing a month of, like I did a dry January, and it made me feel much better. And I told people about it every day and complained about it thoroughly on this podcast.
Cam, tell us about his thing.
You know what? Did John Kaiser tweet about the Cam Newton thing?
Oh, my God. And then the Notre Dame priest tweeted back at him. Did you see that, Ryan?
No, what happened?
Let's see. What did he say, John?
Kaiser's tweet was, I tried the going celibate for a month in Cleveland, and it didn't work out too well.
And the priest, who's a William Daly, Father Bill, priest of the Congregation of Holy Cross, director, Notre Dame Newman Center for Faith and Reason, Dublin, tweeted, not your best work here. And Deshaun Kaiser replied, apologies, Father Bill, looking to get better every day.
Oh, that's a good response, though. I mean, come on, Father Bill. He's joking.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, is he joking?
Well, Cleveland wasn't a barrel of monkeys for Deshaun Kaiser. It probably sucked pretty bad.
I don't know. Good for Cam Newton. What else happened, John, this weekend? Give me some more news.
I mean, I can't believe we're not spending more time on Cam Newton. Let me just say that first. And by the way, he made those statements on a CBS show, so we should give a shout out to James Corden.
Oh, it was with James Corden. That's right.
Nice. I love James Corden.
Yeah.
What about the rules? What's going on with the owners' meeting?
Just like this is a pretty good headline from Deadspin. Just like you, Cam Newton is not having sex. It's pretty solid. Go on, John. What's going on with the owners' meetings?
All right. I think we all want to – we've been waiting to talk about this. Our favorite rule proposal, you know. So there have been some crazy rule proposals. I think, Brinson, you probably remember the one because you wrote a story in 2015. Jim Irsay wanted a 9-point touchdown where, like, you score and then your kicker hits a 50-yard kick and then all of a sudden you get 9 points. There's been some proposals in the past about kicking a kickoff through the uprights and maybe getting an extra point out of it, or the touchback moves further back. And now we have the crazy one from the Broncos with the fourth quarter, 4th and 15, don't do the onside kick. And honestly, I feel like that's something that the three of us would come up with if we were drunk at a bar, and I love it.
While talking to Cam Newton about his no sex policy.
You know what? Why don't we listen to Cam Newton? Do you want to hear Cam Newton talk about not having sex on the James Corden's show? The late, late show with James Corden?
So we got, vegan in February, and then March, I'm given, I hope this is an adult crowd. It looks like it is. No climax.
Woo! Oh. Shut the front door.
Straight up.
No?
No.
I'm going through a transition right now. Like,
I'm gone.
You should at least done it in February. You got 28 days in February.
I wanted it to be challenging. You know, I'm coming off of shoulder surgery. I'm looking for.
Oh, I get it. Shoulder surgery. It's harder to. I get it. It's harder to throw.
Yeah.
That's good. It's harder to throw. I understand. Yeah.
So.
I understand.
You know, for. Nope. That's including no Wi-Fi. Yeah.
Wait, did Cam Newton say no Wi-Fi as a way of saying, as a way of referring to, single person game?
What does that mean, single person
game? Not a multiplayer event, a single person game. I believe he said, that's right, no Wi-Fi. So like he just refers to Wi-Fi? That is a bizarre.
And also he said no climax, so that doesn't necessarily mean he's not.
That's right. He could still be doing stuff.
Right.
Wait, what?
But, so I don't know why he's doing it in March.
You want to walk us through those technicalities real quick, John? I'm not sure
It occurred to me when he said that.
It's a G-rated podcast. I don't want to get too into detail, but I'm just saying that there is a difference, a nuanced difference between what he said and what we were talking about.
That is true.
He's not necessarily vowing that he will not have sex.
I think we should move on to owners' meetings.
Anyway, so the Denver Broncos. What are the
Denver? 15. It seems like an insane idea, as John mentioned, something we would come up with while we were drunk.
At a bar with Cam Newton.
I think the likelihood of success for the onside kick last year was like less than 5% or something, wasn't it? So 4th and 15 has to be higher than that. So I guess it's okay. It's a weird sort of plan B. And I suppose it's safer than what they were doing the onside kick and why they made the changes. But it's a weird suggestion for a team that doesn't have a quarterback, number one. And the one team that hated the rule also doesn't have a quarterback and wants to run the ball. It wasn't the Giants, John?
It was the Giants.
So it was
what did passed. John, what did John Mara say about it? Is it Mara or Mara? I always get it wrong.
Mara. Kate Mara. John Mara.
Mara. What did John Mara say about it? He's like, we're not the Arena Football League. It's like,
right, exactly.
Hey, buddy, I hate to break it to you. You still have Eli Manning
on the competition committee, and now what has to happen, John?
Well, the final thing about Mara's comments is like, hey, at least get your leagues right, because it was the AAF, the Alliance of American Football, that's using this rule, except they do it 4th and 12 from the 28-yard line in substitute of an onside kick. For the NFL, it would be 4th and 15 from the 35-yard line where the kickoff is held from. And the competition committee loved it. They voted 7-1 to push it through, which just means the owners are going to get a piece of paper that says, hey, the competition committee really likes this rule and you should pass it. But of course, 24 owners have to approve it. And a lot of those guys are staunchy old dudes that are kind of stuck in their ways and aren't going to vote for a rule this crazy. Because, I mean, this is a crazy rule. This would be one of the most progressive changes the NFL has made in decades, besides moving the extra point back, which I don't even think is as crazy as this.
I think they will eventually do this. I don't think they will do this, by this year. Like, I don't think you're going to see them come out of the gates flying with this when they've got so much to worry about from a replay perspective and they have a new collective bargaining agreement coming up. I just think it would be like a little bit rushed to throw this out there, right? Like, we haven't seen a full season of AAF do it yet.
Right. And the other thing is you can only do it once per game. It's not like you can sit and do this after every touchdown. You go out and you say, we're not kicking off. We're going to do this 4th and 15. You can only do it once per game and you can only do it in the fourth quarter. So, I have a tough time believing that 24 owners are going to approve this. And like, you know, you just said, John Mara doesn't like it. He's an owner. That's one vote against it. So now you just need 7 more votes against it and it's failing, or 8 more votes against it. So I like the rule, but I don't think it's going to pass. Or it'll be close. 24-8.
And Ryan hates it because he's old.
No, I'm fine with it. I mean, I'm indifferent. Just like the overtime stuff, I'm not really. I know people get angry about the overtime thing. It's crazy. Maybe I am old because I sat with Prescott. I said this last week. Don't get mad, get better.
Wait, where do you stand on the overtime stuff? Because the Chiefs have a bunch of overtime proposals on the table.
I'm fine with. If your defense isn't good enough to stop them, Pete Prisco's theory of overtime.
So you don't think both teams need a possession?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. You don't need a possession.
Brent,
I think
what do you
the
think
fact
on that?
That they sort of even it out with the field goal versus touchdown on the first drive gives you some something, you know, a little cushion if you're the defense and not very good at stopping people.
Yeah, I'm with Ryan. I don't like it. I'm old. All right, let's get out of here on this, John. Give us a very brief Robert Kraft update.
Robert Kraft apologizing on Saturday. It's the first time he's released any sort of statement. Obviously, he released one on Gronk today, but Saturday. And the thing is, he didn't apologize about anything that happened in Florida per se. It was just a very vague apology thrown out. So it kind of a lot happened on Friday and Saturday because his lawyer spoke for the first time. He thinks that Robert Kraft's Fourth Amendment rights were violated. So there is a lot going on with this case, which makes sense because their first court appearance is this Thursday. So it feels like that just in case something happens, the sheriff in Florida has said the video of Kraft might get out. So it feels like they're kind of building the foundation of protecting themselves in case something happens. Kraft coming out and saying, hey, I apologized for something. I was wrong or all this happened just in case the video comes out or if something happens this week. So this is going to be something interesting to watch this week along with the owners' meetings.
Yeah, and I think you kind of had to do that. He'll be at the owners' meetings. Pete Prisco, Jason Lockenfor, as well as Jamie Eisenberg. Jamie will be there for one night, and Pete and Jason will be there for all 3 days out in Phoenix. We will hopefully be talking to them this week to find out what's going on there. But, you know, it would have been difficult, I think, for Robert Kraft to go to those owners' meetings, to appear publicly without making some kind of statement. And, you know, no surprise that did the statement come out on Friday night? Was it late Friday night?
Saturday afternoon, but his lawyer did an interview Friday night.
I mean, Saturday afternoon of the NCAA tournament is a pretty good time to release a statement.
And now if people ask you questions at the owner's meeting, you can just say, I defer to my statement. Whereas if you didn't have that statement, it just would have been a headache and it would have been all week him getting questions.
Yeah.
And he'll get questions now about Gronkowski retiring too.
Yes. Hey, Gronk, could you please retire? And he said, in deference to the judicial process, I remained silent these past several weeks. And then he also added, throughout my life, I've always tried to do the right thing. The last thing I would ever want to do is disrespect another human being. Extraordinary respect for women. My morals and my soul were shaped by the most wonderful. He says, I have extraordinary respect for women. My morals and my soul were shaped by the most wonderful woman, the love of my life, who I was blessed to have as my partner for 50 years. Myra Kraft, of course, died back in 2011. Kraft added that he hopes to regain the public's, quote, confidence and respect. All right. That's it for the podcast. Great stuff as always, guys. I'm sure we'll talk this week. I'm sure I'll get you a schedule, Ryan, for when we might talk.
And we're all going celibate in April.
Yeah, I'm continuing on from March into April.
I was about to say, yeah. Yeah, 2019, celibate. March, April, May, whatever you want, John. As many months as you need. I'm here for you, buddy. All right, on that note, let's get out of here. Talk to you guys later.